Timestamp 8:30 Tuesday, March 5th, 2019.
8:30 Tuesday, March 5th. It's happening. The idea is out there. I am working towards it.
It's 8:30 on a Tuesday.
It's 8:30 on a Tuesday. We're fucking drunk on seltzer.
Drunk on that seltzer is with
not spiked. The pineapple's not spiked either. I didn't like infuse it. Man. Anyway. Ready? Yep. You want more seltzer? Welcome back to your favorite Boston-based podcast. It's This Bitch of an Earth.
That's the sirens from Lynn, because we are a Boston-based podcast.
That's the sirens working down Tremont Street at rush hour.
Wow!
Oh no, 150 had a fire drill again.
Wow. Someone really just had to smoke in the hallways, huh? You can go downstairs, huh? It's legal now, huh? Get out of your fucking dorm rooms, huh?
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's
until
fine.
Until proven guilty.
I have a garbage bin!
Express to me. Express to me your garbage bin.
That needs more introduction, I think.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Deanna, what day is it today?
It's trash day.
Ooh, let's take a trip on over to the garbage bin.
Let's take out our garbage.
Take out our garbage, throw it in the bin. Take out our garbage, throw it in the bin. Wait for the garbage man to dump it on our front.
What is your first garbage bin? I went first last week.
Oh, fuck.
It's
okay.
Your turn. Yeah.
My first garbage bin happened. It was a couple days before we recorded the last episode.
Yeah.
I was driving to New Hampshire.
Oh, scoop back from your mic just a touch.
Oh, sorry.
You project a lot.
Yeah, I should have been a drill sergeant. It just shouldn't have happened. That someone said that to me yesterday, and it's been in my head ever since. Like, I wish I was jacked so I could be a drill sergeant.
I'll fix it. Hold on.
I also keep moving around, which doesn't help.
Now you can lean forward.
Okay.
Perfect.
Cool.
No doubt.
But I was driving to New Hampshire, you know, live free or die in New Hampshire, where I have been going up there. I've been driving up there for 4 years now. I've been driving up there. I've been going up there. I've lived most of my life in New Hampshire. Like, my dad is technically a New Hampshire citizen. Like,
okay.
Like, we're not for nothing. And I'm driving down a street that I always go down, and I'm going 30 miles per hour because that's the speed limit. Because 5 seconds before that, it goes from a 50 to a 45 to a 50 to a 30. It's a speed trap because nothing happens in New Hampshire for them to arrest people for.
Yeah.
So I'm driving down the street in this town that looks fake, and all of a sudden I see a cop on the other side of the road, and his lights are on, and they're blinking, and I'm like, oh, obviously there's a cop on the other side of the road. I should pull over. So I pulled over, and I let him go past me, and the three people behind me let him go past on the other side, and he looked kind of in a rush. And then we all kept on going. We just mind our own business. And then all of a sudden, from behind me, I hear, woo! And I was like, oh, come on. And I pulled over the side of the road, and three people drove past me. Once again, three people drove past me. And a cop walked up to my window and goes, ma'am, you were all over the road, and you just slowed down drastically in front of the police station. And I was like, honestly, sir, I do not know where the police station is. Please let me know. And I slowed down because it goes from a 50 to a 30. Like, literally 10 feet from where we are. And this man had me outside in shorts when it's 11 degrees without wind chill in New Hampshire, doing like 19 sobriety tests, and I didn't have the heart to tell him I'm just a bad driver. Like, I'm not a great driver. Like, that's just how it is. Like, it was late. I couldn't see. I wear glasses. I was wearing my glasses. And I was in slippers and shorts. And the man had me stare at a pen for 3 minutes. I was like, you can do a breathalyzer. Like, I won't object. You can give me a blood test. I can do the alphabet backwards. What do you want me to do? Fucking ZYXWVUT, motherfucker. Like, let me go. I just want to drive 5 minutes until I get to my goddamn house. Yeah, and that was great. And then my, what's that fucking thing called? Registration. My registration was stuck under my passenger seat. And that was great. That really helped them. That really made them think I was driving under the influence. That was spectacular. Not to mention, they said that they were tailing me. There was 3 people behind me. How bad do you have to be at tailing someone to have 2 Honda Odysseys in a trash car pass me before they do? Like, you did not see me. I pulled over as a respect to you. And so did 3 other people. Oh, it was absolute shenanigans. Oh, whatever. It's fine.
I'm over it. I was so mad for you when this happened.
I was so mad. Because they definitely were just like, oh, one of these people pull over.
Yeah.
Like, let's get the girl with shorts on and not let her go in her car.
You know what? All cops are bastards.
All cops are bastards, and New Hampshire cops are bored bastards. Fuck them.
So what did this situation teach you? Other than all cops are bastards. What can you think this situation that. Before?
Oh.
Before. What can you think this situation for?
Fuck you, cops, because you're bastards. But thank you for reminding me that I'm a bad driver and kind of knocking me down a peg, because I think I deserved that. I got into a car crash like a week before this happened, too, so I think I deserve that.
Yikes, but snaps.
Yeah, snaps. Fucking pigs. Deanna, what's your garbage bin?
My first garbage bin is the pressure to monetize your hobbies.
Woo!
Just coming in full force with this one, huh?
Wow, I feel that so hard with my back.
This is right after I have manifested to the universe and put out into the open air that I want to monetize my hobby.
But you're valid.
The pressure to do so is fucking unreal. I shouldn't feel like I am a failure because at age 25 I don't have a career that I have etched out of stone for myself.
True.
I'm not even 25 yet, but I know it's not gonna take a month, you know?
Yeah.
It's gonna take longer than that. And comparatively, I feel like I've been starting from behind because I was so fucking depressed in high school.
Yay!
College,
LGBT podcast!
LGBT podcast! LGBT Boston-based podcast! But yeah, I feel like I'm doing everything just like late.
You're not.
I'm not. I know I'm on pace for, like, me, but comparatively, it feels like my pace isn't good enough because, you know, like, I don't have, like, a massively successful, like,
empire.
Small business. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's also people who I work with who are your age who, like, went out into the workforce and they were like, here's what I'm doing. I'm becoming an esthetician. I'm doing this. And then they hopped right back because they were not prepared.
Yeah.
So, like, at least you're taking your sweet time.
Yeah.
And, like, making sure that you're ready and prepared to, like, go out there and take over the goddamn world like you're going to.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, I am.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, you
fuck
are.
Fuck yeah, I'm gonna take fuck over the world. Yeah. And I will make cops illegal.
We can only hope!
This is an anarchist podcast. This is a social anarchist, Boston-based LGBT podcast!
Blue isn't a race!
Blue is not a race!
Blue is not a race, you chose to be a cop!
No one chooses their race!
Blue Lives Matter is a sham!
Hey, listen! All Armenians that live in the United States that aren't queer, you are barely 3 generations removed from a genocide! Can we please stop voting for neo-Nazis?! Please! Oh, please!
Jews, we've kept our shit together for a hot second.
Hell yeah! Fucking solidarity!
Let's keep going. Let's just keep it moving, please. Just make some good choices.
Fucking
Israel,
Armenians.
Get your fucking shit together and stop. Just stop. Just cut the shit.
Fucking Armenians in California. Who made you so afraid of being yourself that you had to be classified as white on the ethnicity card?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, in like the 70s and 60s and 70s, I think they fought really hard for that. Yeah, it makes me so upset. I don't identify as white.
Yeah.
Like, I am fucking Middle Eastern. You're it's not right white. There. I am next to Iran.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's my second garbage bin. That's my second garbage bin.
Go ahead.
All right. You can we'll book
make
in
a,
my...
We'll
can,
make a me sandwich. You can go down.
Yeah, you can book in the garbage bins. My second garbage bin is the fact that, like, traditionally, it's been, like, I feel such a disconnect between... And, like, part of this is how, like, my family dynamic was. But I feel such a disconnect between, like, my culture. I'm, like, 100% Armenian. And I can understand Armenian pretty well. But I can't speak it. I can barely read it. Like, I fucking can't write it anymore. You know? And if I go back to Armenia. Well, not back. But if I, like, visit for the first time in my life. It's gonna feel like I don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's such a culture over here of, like... Like, glamour and acting like you fit in instead of celebrating the fact that you're different. And it's just mind-boggling to me
it's
that,
just
like...
so toxic.
Like...
that this melting pot, United States.
Yeah.
It's just melting and boiling and broiling until we become white hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfair.
Yeah. It really is.
It's like being set up for other cultures to fail. Like, that's what that's what this fucking country does.
Yeah. And, like, it's just the fact that literally 3 generations from a genocide that wiped out, like, a big chunk of the population. Mm-hmm. Like, the first event in modern history that was classified as a genocide. And people are, like, forgetting that and thinking that we don't have an identity that... Yeah, we're just, like, other white people. No.
Like, you're not.
You're in the fucking Middle East. The Middle East. You know? Like, yes, we are light-skinned. I'm not gonna say that, like, I have dark skin because I don't. Yeah. I'm pretty pale. But I have an ethnicity that I didn't have a choice in, like, being not proud enough of. So, yeah. Like, and this is the first time I've, like, expressed these thoughts.
Yeah.
I come in with the big, big concepts in episodes 8 and 9 of this bitch of an earth.
Oh, my God.
But, like, man, I wish that, like.
I feel, mine's, like, completely different.
Yeah.
No, like, but it's, like, to kind of build off of that, like my local temple.
Yeah.
Because. For y'all who don't know, I'm Jewish. It's a Boston-based podcast. Get the fuck over it.
Yeah, this is a Boston-based podcast, and if you are anti-Semitic or racist in any way in Boston, you can meet my fist.
Yeah. But
we're not going to tolerate that shit.
Yeah. My local temple has been posting things like, here's the service to come here, and here's the service for this, and here's the Purim party. And I was like, oh my god, Purim. I love Purim. It's such a good holiday because... Like, my fucking bitch Esther, she fucking risked her life for our people so that we wouldn't get massacred again. We fucking love Esther. But, like, what if I'm not Jewish enough to go? Because I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna be the only, like, girl there who didn't have a fucking bat mitzvah. Like, I'm gonna go in and they're gonna be like, who are you? And I'm gonna be like, my last name is Ford. And they're gonna be like, oh, one of those. And we'll be like, well... I'm trying, and I want to try again, and religion terrifies me.
Yeah.
But it's something that, like, will connect me with my grandparents a little more, because, like, they're not around for me to connect with, and, like, I just want to give it another try. And, like, even if I don't agree with everything, it's a lot of solid, it's not the religious pretenses. It's not that God gave Esther a fucking premonition, and she was like, oh, we have to go do this because God said so. It's years and years of, like, my ancestors just being shunned and being slaved, and just, I just want to, like, connect with that a little more. And, like, it's not, I'm not going to say that I'm half as bad off as anyone, but it's just a personal concept for me that, like, I want to reconnect with, like, these stories and these tales. And, like, I'm not going to force my kids to grow up in any certain religion, but, like, if they wanted to come to temple with me, like, I would want them to feel comfortable enough to make that decision.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because this little Jewish kid at work just, like, really got me thinking about religion, and, like, I can't help it anymore. So.
Yeah. The fact that, like, I've found just, like, even just being aware of, like, other Armenian queer people.
Yeah.
And especially Armenian queer people who are, like, into tabletop gaming.
Yeah.
And that are, like, twice my age is so, like, comforting to me.
Yeah.
Because it makes me think, like, not all Armenian people are like my grandparents, who were definitely in that crowd of, like, yeah, we're white, we belong in America, we were voting for Trump. Yeah. It, like, it sucks to say, because, like, I really do respect my grandparents and, like, all that they have done. But I also acknowledge that how they grew up and how they passed that on to, like, especially my dad and my mom, maybe is not the best for who I identify as.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, it's just a hard thing to reckon with, because you're taught that, like, oh yeah, your grandparents can do no wrong, they're perfect, you know, like, they're the elders of the family.
Yeah.
You're supposed to respect them, and I do respect them. It's just that I'm able to critique their actions and their thoughts and their beliefs and learn from that.
Yeah.
So that I don't make those same mistakes. So I guess thank you to my hobbies for giving me a creative expression outlet, but fuck capitalism for making me fuck capitalism for like making me feel like I'm not on the right track at age 20 fucking five. Thank you, like, just thank you to Armenia for existing, for giving me a rich culture and ethnicity that I can, like, that I'm just so proud of. But, ooh, I don't want to get controversial on here.
Fuck you to the ideals that made us.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you to the traditional ideals that made us assimilate so hard that we forgot our identity.
Yeah. You can cut my bit out of there. So that's
just, no, don't worry about it.
I know, but I just, I overstepped.
No, you didn't.
I always overstep.
I'm
trying to think of my last garbage bit.
We're snaps. We're snaps for your bit and mine. We don't have to have two things.
You know what's a little bit of a garbage bin?
What's a garbage
bin? Fuck, did Bohemian Rhapsody win best editing?
Oh my!
That's some shenanigans! Okay. I could have edited that movie better. The continuity was all off.
Go in, Julia.
Everything was wrong. Okay. So, I have grown a love for award shows in the past, like, year and a half. Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I, like, have to watch a lot of them. Like, I've watched the Tonys every year religiously since I was born. Because that's just how it is.
Theater?
Theater? Maybe.
Have you heard
Jewish?
Of it?
Maybe. Gay? Maybe. Who knows? I just put myself Christmas applesauce. But
on a chair.
On a chair.
For the record.
We're just chilling. But even I know that was a bad edit movie. Like, they won solely based off of that one section where they're doing the We Are the Champions bit, and
I didn't see it.
Oh, I didn't see it either. But there's this one bit in it that's like, it's a gorgeous shot. It's a beautiful shot. Like, absolutely, and it shows Freddie Mercury.
And they should have won best cinematography, not editing.
Literally! It was such a badly edited movie. I only saw clips and bits, and I was like, wow, I have a headache.
That one where they're sitting at the table on the patio, yeah, right? And it's like cutting from person to person as they're saying their line. That's not how you edit.
It's so bad. It's just so bad. And everyone in the background is always wrong, and everything's always different, and nothing is good. And, like, okay, Green Book winning Best Picture, I don't agree with at all, because it was just another pat on the back for white people, because 70% of the goddamn Academy is white men.
Yep.
Or just white people. I think it's like 58% is white men of the 70% that are white.
So,
but, like, I understood that that was going to happen. I knew that it was going to happen. I wasn't excited about it because Black Klansman deserved it. Because
Black Spike Klansman did deserve it.
It was so fucking good. But the like, fucking,
was it right before the credits where they showed the Charlottesville riots?
Yeah. Oh my god.
That fucking got me.
Yeah. But the Green Book was literally. It was like
I didn't see just, Green Book.
I
saw the ones that count. I saw Spider-Verse. I saw Black Klansman.
Spider-Verse was so good.
That's it.
That's it. Star is Born was so good. Black Klansman, so good.
I do
want
to see Star is Born.
It's so good. I have the DVD. Okay. My brother got Green Book on DVD, so I was kind of cheating the system before it like came out on DVD, yeah, so yeah. I watched it with my dad.
My dad was
like, wow, that was a fantastic movie. And I was like, it really wasn't. Like, I was like, it really wasn't a great movie. Like, it was well shot, it was well this and well that. But it was, like, based on a true story in which a guy who is paid by, like, a millionaire black pianist who is just absolutely amazing. And they're driving through Kentucky, and the white guy forces the black guy to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. Like, somebody was like, this is in this book, and we should make it into a scene. Like, we should, like, just watch this. We should do this. This is a good idea. It was not a good idea. It was just so much racism. It was just bad yeah. racism. Like,
I think it was about Ray Charles, right?
No, it was about something Shirley.
Yeah, but his
Doc
family.
Doc Shirley or something.
I think his family said it wasn't even accurate.
Yeah. His family was like, why are you taking this story about a black guy and making the white guy the center of it?
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, good question. I'd love to know.
I would love to know.
Like, how did The Favorite not win? I didn't see it, but I know it deserved to win. It was total Oscar bait. Yeah. It should have beaten it. Green Book? Okay. I decided my garbage bin. I think it's that Green Book one.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It just grinds my goddamn gears.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot about race in this episode, but it's fine.
You know what? That's one of the reasons why, like, we're on this bitch of an earth.
Yeah.
Because people can't, like, see past the fact that there are people different than them.
Literally. They can't understand. It was also directed and, like, written by white guys. And, like, there were very few people of color involved in it. It was about a black man.
It's like
the entire story was about a wealthy black pianist.
Yeah.
Who hired an Italian guy. Like,
and they made it about the Italian guy.
They made it about the Italian guy. And they were like, here's the Green Book that tells black people where they can and can't go. Okay. Maybe dive into that part.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, wow. Like this white Italian man does such a good job not being racist or homophobic for
but
so much
we're
of
okay
the movie.
With it.
Like,
we're okay with doing that.
We're okay. We're content.
While making this movie.
Like, okay. It was just it was just disgusting.
Yeah.
It hurt me to watch it. And, like, my dad was like, wow, that was so powerful. And he was like, it really wasn't.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't powerful. You're just a little racist. Okay, so,
is that a prerequisite to being a dad? To a millennial.
Can't wait to never be a dad. So, thank you to the Oscars for giving me a nice little night. There was some good John Mulaney comedy. I had a good time. Lady Gaga won her first Oscar, and she deserved it for song, not best actress. I understand. I am a stan, but she didn't deserve best actress. But fuck you for your racist ideals and just not having solid representation for the movie community. Like, Roma was better than The Green Book. I watched both of them. Roma wasn't that good, and it has some controversy around it. It was very good, actually. But it should have beaten fucking Green Book. Okay.
Yeah, I'll snap to that.
There we go. I'm snapping myself to that. Fuck Green Book.
We did it. We made it through our garbage bins. We took out the trash.
We took out the trash. Let's over it.
Let's throw a lid on there.
Let's sled down that hill.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with our friggin' hoorays.
Yeah. Okay, I have one.
Yeah, now that we're in the podcast space, I don't want to stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Did I do friggin' hoorays first last time?
I don't I think I did because you did garbage ones first.
Okay, so I'll do my friggin' hoes first. Yeah. My first friggin' hooray. The first thing that I'm living for in this bitch of an earth is my fucking Hobo Nietzsche Techo Cousin Planner!
Yeah!
It's in front of me right now. When I tell you, coming off of a bullet journal, this has changed my life.
Really?
This has literally changed my life. Because it not only... This is why I chose it over the... It's an A5 size planner. Same size as, like, your standard Leuchtturm bullet journal. The reason I chose this one over the A6 size is because it has yearly spreads.
Oh my god.
It has half yearly spreads for like goal planning. It has monthly spreads.
Oh my god.
Including the first 3 months of next year. It has weekly spreads and it has daily journaling pages.
Oh my god. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's fucking fantastic. I love it to death. And, like, the only thing that bothers me is it's all in Japanese. So I can't... I mean, like, it's fine. I'm not...
Yeah.
But I can't read it.
I'm, like, so happy you found one that, like, works so well. Especially with you being an entrepreneur. Like, that's so good. I'm a small business owner. Look at you.
I'm really owning that.
Yeah. That's, like... That's so on brand.
Yeah. So I did find a website where I can translate the little
ditties.
Yeah, it gives you like a fortune or a quote each day.
Cute.
It also like tells you what phase of the moon we're in. We're in a new moon the day we're recording this. Ooh, the day this comes out. Let me check real quick. It'll be a waxing crescent. Yeah.
Oh wait.
I just love it so much. I also love that it starts on Mondays for the week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love, I don't know what it is, but like Mondays, I'm not like Garfield anymore. I don't hate Mondays. I think Monday, well, I kind of do, but I think Mondays are like a nice start to the week. It's like, okay, I'm going to work. I'm going to get all my routines done. Like I meal prep. 2 days
to end the week.
Instead yeah.
of one
week.
A sandwich. End. A week sandwich.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, and my fountain pen works really nicely on it. It has room for stickers.
Yo, that's the best part. I've already decided.
Look at here. I've put my...
And there's a little villager sticker.
I know. I have the Animal Crossing sticker book, and that's probably going to be one of my freaking hoorays at some point. Mm-hmm. There should be an award for all this adulting business. This is one of the stickers that I have in there. Because I was really going through it. I still am going through it.
You gotta do what you
gotta do. It's encouraged me to write more, and, like, I'll put my tarot spreads on my Sunday pages, because I pull, like, a little tarot spread for me every week. They've been kind of negative lately, but, you know, I've been going through it, so. They'll be good.
At the top of every garbage bin is a great sliding hill.
Yeah.
I used to go sliding in a dump. It was great.
So
it's in New Hampshire.
I used to go... that doesn't surprise me. I used to go sledding at a elementary school.
Me too.
And then I bruised my ass on a rock through a saucer, sledding down the hill. We didn't go after that.
I'm sorry.
It was so funny. So yeah, I'm really glad for my Hobo Nietzsche planner. It like it keeps me so organized.
Yay!
Yay! And it lets me use all my stickers.
Okay.
So, what's your friggin' hooray?
My first friggin' hooray is I have so many friggin' hoorays this week. I've had like such a solid week. Like I literally, it's only Tuesday, and I understand that. But usually by Tuesdays, I'm over it. Like I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But like. On Saturday, I went to Drama Fest, and I'm obsessed with theater. And I think it made me realize that I was in, like, a passion rut. Like, I wasn't really putting my whole heart into everything. Like, I was putting my whole heart into, like, I got, like, a little burst of it when I made myself a little bag. And I, like, was feeling iffy and here and there. But I just could not get my act together to save my life. I went to Drama Fest and I screamed my fucking brains out. Every time someone from Winthrop or anywhere that I appreciate got an award, I typed all the awards. I got to know all the information. I saw, like, 8 shows of, like, great theater. Like, it was amazing. And I went home, and I slept. And I slept from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. the next day. And then I woke up, and I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing for 6 hours. Found out that we weren't going to have school. Drank way too much, and then fell asleep a half hour later. And then I woke up the next morning at 8 a.m. and got all of my homework done. So God bless a snow day, because it really allowed me to tackle my passions. So this snow day was my friggin' hooray. Because after I finished all of my homework, like, when I tell you I finished all of my homework, I mean for, like, the next week, and then next week I have spring break to just get all the rest of it done. Like, forever. And what this all, like, leads up to, because I'm not very good at, like, expressing it, but I've been writing a D&D campaign. I've been going here and there. It's been taking me, like 18 different directions, and I have one that I really liked, and then I just fell off of it and didn't like it anymore. And I sat down yesterday, and I wrote for, like, 5 hours. Like, just wrote. A lot of it was nonsense writing, but it was, like, I did all my homework. Like, from the start to the end of 5 hours, I had written all my homework. I wrote an essay that was just, like, kind of me blurbing out my thoughts, which was, like, you need that sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, like, an entire governmental system. And, like, this isn't even all of it. This is just, like, what I'm trying to, like, get together. And it's, like, welcome to Left Creek. And it is in my beautiful little notebook. And I made a map. And it's kind of secret, so I can't keep it because
keep it secret.
But it's in a little notebook that my friend Melissa got me, and I just really miss her a lot. She's in Amherst, and I think she listens to this. Melissa, I miss you. And it has Stitch on it, and it's blue and sparkly, and I'm just happy to kind of I don't typically get really, like, seasonal depression-y during the winter, because it's kind of when I surge. Like, I do great. I'm a night owl. I love the cold. Nothing really ever brings me down. But this past month really tested me. Like, really tested me. And I'm, like, bouncing back. So, like, that snow day, God bless Monday for that snow day. That is my friggin' hooray. Thank you, snow day. Thank you, theater. Thank you, Dungeons & Dragons. Thank you, writing. Thank you, Deanna. Like, I really just, I'm back, baby.
God, you're thriving.
I'm fucking back.
It's so energetic. I love it.
Okay. What's your next friggin' hooray, Deanna? I really want to hear it. Like, I genuinely want to hear it. That's so sarcastic. I
know.
Really, everything I say sounds super sarcastic, and it really isn't 90% of the time.
My next friggin' hooray is my pet chinchilla, Eugene.
Yay!
I came downstairs this morning. And he was lying down on his side. And he had his, like, hind legs kicked out behind him. He was lounging. I love him so much. Let me set the stage for you. It's March 29th, 2014. We go to this Curious Critters place that, like, you know the like, shows that come to classrooms?
Yeah.
They teach children about exotic animals. We find out they have a chinchilla rescue, and my mom has been talking to the guy that runs it to adopt a chinchilla. We go get the chinchilla. While we are there, there's, like, two. One is already spoken for, like, a family's already adopting him, and he was blind in one eye. And then there's one who only has 3 legs, and that's the one we take home. His name is Eugene, named after Eugene Fitzherbert from Tangled.
Naturally. I love it. I stan. We stan.
And so we bring him home. He is like a little baby thing. He's probably like 6 months old when we get him. We get him home, and like over the next year, he's like, he gets big. He's a chunk. I love him.
He's a chunk.
Like, I will stop at nothing to give Eugene the biggest cage, the most activities, and, like, all of the fresh hay that he deserves and needs. And because of this, and because I personally give him a treat every time I come home, and he acknowledges that I'm home. Like, he's started figuring out what I personally sound like coming into the house, so that when I get up the stairs, he's at, like, the top level of his cage, like, saying hello. And, like, chinchillas are not usually cuddly creatures, but I don't need to cuddle Eugene to know that he loves me.
Wait a second. Okay, I'm good. I thought I was gonna cry there for a second. That was so sweet.
He also will, when I sit in front of his cage, he will come out onto my lap. And my lap only!
What a good boy. What
a family.
What a
little
boy.
He's so soft. And he hates not getting what he wants.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
So sometimes he'll figure out that I'm, like, walking around downstairs, and he'll be like, oh, hey, do you want another treat? And I will talk to him, and I will say, no. You just got one. And he will, I shit you not, turn and face the wall.
Petty bastard, I love him.
He's such a cranky boy.
We love Eugene. Oh my god.
He's perfect and my favorite pet. I'm so glad they live like 20 years.
True. When did you get him?
Almost 5 years ago.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I have another 15 years with this boy.
He's so lucky. Oh my god. He found the right fam. You know, he found True. He found the right Diana.
Let's be real, I am the only person that cleans his cage. I am the only person that, like, maintains his hay, food, water, etc., etc.
It's fine.
It's fine. He's the family pet.
He's the family pet. Yeah, my cat's the family cat. Like, I don't pay for all the gas and stuff. Yeah. Like, I...
yeah.
That was so nice.
I'm so happy. He's so bushy. He's perfect. He's perfect. He can do no wrong. And he thrives in the winter.
My boy.
I love you.
Love.
I thank you, Eugene, for just being in my life and helping me through my depression, honestly. Because who else is going to take care of him?
True.
True. I gotta.
That's a you.
That's me. Yubi. That's a meebie.
Oh my god.
He's mine. I gotta be around for him.
Eugene is mine. You need to give him.
I love him.
You're so valid. I don't even know what to say. You're so valid.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for existing, Eugene.
I was gonna talk about those bad boys.
Do it.
But...
Okay. Yeah, do it.
So, I fucking love Pokemon. I live my whole life for Pokemon. I've played Pokemon Go since I, like, it was born in, like, I think it was, like, mid-July 2016.
Yeah.
Like, July 26th, I want to say, but I can't confirm that.
Let me check you real quick.
I have Pokemon Ruby, I have Pokemon Sapphire, I have Pokemon Emerald, all on my little...
July 6th.
Oh, 20 days off. all on my... Not even on my Game Boy Advance. I had it on my DS that the top half broke off, but I could still use the bottom half, so I just played Pokemon games all the goddamn time, and it was awesome. And I just... Oh, my God. I deleted so many games by accident on my brother's Game Boy. It was so good. It gave me so much joy. But, like... In a time, like, in, I expected my college years to go so, like, drastically different than they have. Like, in my plan, like, a year ago, I was transferring to Salem State, like, this semester. Like, I was already going to be there. And, like, because of, like, scholarship reasons from North Shore, I'm not going to be able to do it until probably next spring, which, like, kind of sucks, because then I'll only get one semester there, but, or I'll just have to take, like, an extra year to, like, do that. And while I'm, like, I was kind of stuck in this loop, like I discussed earlier, like, I was just, like, not doing anything. I was just kind of, like, moving at a rough pace.
Everything
okay? Yeah. Okay. And it was just a lot of tension around me. One of the things that did kind of bring me back was, like, Pokemon really did just, like, come out. Like, they were just like, oh, by the way, we're going to make a brand new Pokemon game with three adorable starters. And we're going to, like, let you, like, kind of hold on to that little bit of nostalgia that you need right now. That you need to remind yourself that there's something good and pure and simple
and it's out there. Is Grookey.
And its name is fucking Grookey. Grookey and Sobble and the bunny, I love them all. They're all my kids. I'm buying both games. I've already decided. Because I always buy the blue Pokemon game. Whatever blue one comes out, I buy the blue one. But the blue one is Sword and Shield is my thing. I'm a protector. I can't help it. I need to be, like, sheltering my people. Like, I already decided, like, I'm buying both games. Sword, I'm going to use Sobble. Shield, I'm gonna use Grookey. I have to play Shield first. I have to beat the whole thing. Like, I'm so excited about this little thing that brings me joy. Like, it brings me so much joy. Like, it's just a complicated game of rock, paper, scissors where you get lost in a cave and get, like, upset for a couple minutes. But then you come out on the other side and you're a Pokemon fucking master out of nowhere.
That's just life.
It's just fucking life. It's just walking in to a goddamn cave and getting swarmed by bats. And the first time, you're like, oh, lit, I got a bat. And then the third time, you're like, oh, okay, it's a lot of bats, guys. And then the 80th time, you're like, I've been walking, and I've gotten 8 steps. And I've seen 5,000 of you goddamn bats. Like, I just...
Yeah, I don't know how my commute to work is real rough.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe how fulfilling it felt to know that on my, like, probably my favorite game station to ever exist, they're releasing a game that all, like, I knew it was going to come out eventually, but the second it was announced, I was excited for nothing anymore. Captain Marvel, like, didn't exist for me for a couple hours. Animal Crossing did not exist for me. The dice that I ordered that I'm going to talk about next week did not exist. Nothing existed. Nothing was more exciting to me than knowing, like, for sure, before Christmas, I will have a new Pokemon game where I can create my own character and live out my wildest fantasies of not only having a pet, because it didn't go well in my house. Not only, like, having a pet, but, like, being able to explore the world. Like, being able to explore some new world every time it's a different place and it's the same concept, and I get why people don't like it. But, like, it's so easy to get lost in a beautiful designed world. Even the ugly parts, they make gorgeous. And also, there's probably gonna be a new Eevee evolution, and that fucker's so fucking cute. Fucking love that doll, bitch. I don't know. I find a lot of solace.
Can I ask what evolution type you want to see most?
Steel.
Okay.
I want a protection based one.
Okay. That makes sense.
Oh, steel or dragon. Dragon one would be Either that or just a normal one.
Normal type. Plus.
Normal type, where it's just Eevee, but, like, big. Yeah. Yeah. Like, big Eevee. Yeah, just big Eevee. It would be so good.
I'm dying.
Oh, I get a lot of comfort from very simple things. Rock, paper, scissors, that's a very simple thing. Pokemon is rock, paper, scissors. You always choose grass. Grass is paper. That's the hardest. And that gives me a sort of accomplishment that I don't deserve. I don't know. That's just gotta be my friggin' hooray. Like, a lot of good things have happened in the last week, but, like, none have made me feel as, ecstatic and on my toes as the announcement of goddamn Pokemon Gun. I meant Shield.
Pokemon Gun!
Grookey stands for Gun!
Okay. Okay, that's what the third one's gonna be called. God, Jesus Christ! Pokemon Gun.
Okay.
That's so fucking funny.
I got my little bean out of me, Deanna. I really do want to hear. Do you have another one? I really want to hear something else good.
You want to hear something else good?
Yeah, or should we just talk about our Enchantress dice?
We should talk about our Enchantress dice. Okay, this is a collective friggin' hooray.
Okay.
Julie and I ordered the same pair of dice, set of dice, from Kraken Dice.
Kraken Dice, sponsor me. I love you.
Yeah, Kraken Dice. Hey, if you wanna make Shadowrun dice, I will let you sponsor the Code of Conflict. I will get that up and running for you.
You honestly don't have to pay me. You just have to acknowledge my existence.
Yeah, can our collective friggin' hooray be D&D?
Yeah. Yeah. D&D in general.
Yeah. Especially the fucking session the campaign we just started.
I'm so excited.
Okay. This is if you want to ignore D&D talk, like skip ahead 20 minutes, okay? I'll put timestamps in the description. So Julia and I are starting a new D&D campaign led by our friend Amber. Amber, if you're listening,
shout out. Love you.
And we had an old campaign. My character, I loved, but like I think everyone was kind of like,
you're aware, we got through it.
I had a very tall, buff bull man I was fucking.
God, I fucking love Maximus.
I fucking love Maximus. I love Oriana so much. She was a pirate monk. She was a pirate monk who, like, consistently breaks her quarterstaffs.
She's fucking awesome.
She's great. I love her.
So good.
You're so good. And I'm gonna use her for if I get to level 5 in another campaign. I'm gonna be like, yeah, my character fucking done. Oriana, in there.
My character is fucking dead.
My character fucking kills themselves. Oriana swoops in.
I killed Hurley. Hurley Humphrey Maple is fucking dead. Because her brother... I made a character for her, like a character sheet for her brother who was so much fucking cooler than her. Like, I loved her, like, but she was not cool enough. Like, she was only cool when dealing with Oriana.
So they were in cahoots!
They were in cahoots the whole time.
All right. Okay, so,
go ahead.
Explain Hurley Humphrey just a touch.
Okay, Hurley Humphrey was a bard, but she, like, was the actual best performer in the entire goddamn world, and she fucking knew it. She would just, like, leave for periods of time in which I get distracted and, like, don't have enough time to do all the things I want to. So she would just leave and just come back with, like, a bunch of, like, inspiration points. Like, and she gold. Would come back with, like, 300 gold and everyone would be like, where the fuck were you? And I'd be like, you know, out.
That was it.
I had a fucking beanbag chair in our, like, yes! secret lair.
We were gonna start a so Cafe cool. Nero.
It was so cool.
It was so good.
But, like... Oh my god, and she was just such a babe, and I loved her so much, and she had a family that was so cute, and I love her.
I loved dealing with her family.
They were so quirky.
They were so quirky, I got possessed!
They were so quirky!
I got possessed and my beak broke, and I got it filled with green metal!
That was the coolest fucking part of that entire
session. That was the coolest fucking part. I wonder when anyone's gonna show up. Yeah. Sorry, I'm swearing about D&D again, Mom. But... This campaign,
bro.
I have a character named Sybil, and it's a chance for me to kind of explore the feelings that I'm having about my gender. So her pronouns, their pronouns are they, her.
You're valid.
Because, like, those are kind of my pronouns now.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
You're Neoscum.
I'm Neoscum! I'm Box Neoscum!
Your eyes just popped out of your head. Roger Rabbit style. All of a sudden, they were out of their sockets. So I was like, where'd this bad boy go? And I looked over my shoulder, and there were your eyes.
Oh my god, you've derailed me.
I'm sorry. Neoscum good. Go listen to Neoscum good.
Neoscum is going to be my friggin' hooray next episode.
Honestly, just buzz.
I love Neoscum so much.
Oh my god.
I need to wear my Neoscum shirt to the gym tomorrow, but no one's gonna see it because I always wear a sweater because it's fucking 11 degrees out all the time.
God. I went to see a musical on the night of the Super Bowl, and someone there was wearing an Avengers Zone hoodie, and I cried. I tried tweeting, but they didn't see it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I couldn't find them.
I also couldn't find them. I went through, like, the followers. I was like, come on. I gotta be in here somewhere. Oh, PercyJackson.com. Like,
oh, you're also gay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, but... Okay, we were talking about our characters for the new D&D campaign and our pretty dice. For the new D&D
campaign. My character's pronouns are they, her, because I fuck up sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really comfortable with them having they pronouns. It's just, like, they present female, but they're also an astral being. Like, I don't... They don't do gender, I don't feel. But let me look at the fucking portrait I have of them, because I found a doll maker and I made them in this doll maker. So they're a tiefling Azamar, which, Greg, if you're listening, you let me do this. And so now I'm going to begin to blend Azamars with any other race in D&D. I don't care what my DM says. Like, Amber was like, oh, you're a tiefling? I thought you were an Azamar. I'm like, yeah, I'm both.
Fuck off.
And the penalty was I can't cast tiefling spells, like the cantrips that they have, like, normally.
So you just appear as a tiefling.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Okay. So they have, like, pale purple skin, horns, black hair, black clothes, like, gold, like, jewelry. Yeah. I definitely have pale purple skin, especially when I get cold. they're blind, ooh, actually, and they use fairy fire. Like, nice. They're angel guide.
Oh, like that game that Eleanor worked on.
Yeah, like, yeah. Perception. They use fairy fire to, like...
That's so cool.
It's kind of passive, yeah. So they can see what's going on. I mean, I'm not gonna be like, in the darkness I can see because fairy fire is active all the time. I'm gonna treat it like a normal sight thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, they would have dark vision and et cetera, like a tiefling would. And that's something that their guide has, like, determined for them. But I really wanted to not only play with the fact that, one, Rasputin is their father and has killed their mother.
Whoa.
Yeah. Or at least they think so.
That was my jaw hitting the floor.
And they've rejected their angelic guide because of the lore with Azamars, and that the angelic guide often has, like, impossibly high standards for them.
Yeah.
And I think I caught you all off guard.
You were like, what? What's going on?
I want to go in on the fucking storytelling this campaign. Because Oriana was just like, yes, I am meathead. I am pirate. I am monk.
Oh my god.
And I think
Hurley was like, I am Oriana's friend. She is meathead, pirate, and monk.
And Sybil, this character, is like, it hates everybody. They're chaotic evil, 100%. 100%. I don't think they're going to be with the story for long. So when they hit level 5, and the party's done. Oriana's coming back, bitch!
Honestly, go off.
Maximus, too. He's in there now.
Love him. Love Max. MaxiPad, love that guy. I'm obsessed with Fane, who's my new character.
I am. You I called her. My character Aridin.
Yeah.
You called me out for being a homestuck in our D&D chat.
She looks like fucking Aridin.
Okay, so we did have to take a break because the memory card was full, because we talked too much, and while we were taking our break, right after Julia called my D&D character out as Aridin, outing me as a homestuck, we saw a picture of me and my sisters, like a family photo, in which I'm wearing my
homestuck sweatshirt.
And Julia decided to call me out in my own home as someone with several... Tumblr blogs herself that are of the Homestuck variety. And, you know, we just started this conversation as a little stint about D&D.
No tea, no shade, only past chumsticks allowed here.
Yeah, honestly. So, my character only has that trident because I couldn't find a halberd.
And horns.
They're a tiefling!
They're a homestead.
They have a radius horns. God!
They're gray. It's an Aries.
They're not the candy corn colors. It's not a homestuck.
The body is gray.
Purple.
Gray. You remade Aradia.
No, I did not. You said I remade Ayrton.
You combined them both. What's, what's it called? I almost bought it the other day. This was on sale. Hive swap. You hive swapped.
No. Well, okay. We're all valid. We're all valid. Sybil reads tarot. I mean,
aren't we all just homestuck here?
Aren't we all just homestucks on this bitch of an earth?
Literally,
yeah.
Or on Earth too.
I love this fiction. Love it.
So yeah, where that to kind of go off my non-homestuck character, yeah. my character. I almost just said my homestuck OC. My character, her name is Fane Roofskin Madison, and I'm fucking gay for her. And, like, I'm fucking gay for her. And, like, that's just how it is. Like, I made a character that's perfect for me. She's 8 feet tall.
Oh, God.
She's all purple. She's thick. But, like, just out of muscles. She's filthy rich. That's a plus. She has, light green hair, but, like, she was born with it. She's also an orc. And she
orcs,
got a little
orcs can little be boy. Thick, beautiful, and purple.
Yeah.
We're not right. here. We're not here for the myth that perpetuates that orcs
aren't beautiful.
Are like dumb and ugly. You know literally. What? Orcs are beautiful.
She is the most fucking gorgeous being that anyone has ever seen. And she goes, I'm an orc. And everyone goes, what the fuck?
And you also can't keep using orcs as an analogy for black people in your D&D sessions.
True!
You can't stop it. Stop. Get some help.
That's so true with her. Oh my God.
It's a fantasy game. Racism should not exist. This is a fantasy I would like to achieve.
Unless it's against jugglers. I will find you. I want every last one of you jugglers.
Is this a homestuck?
This is a macaroni. They hate jugglers.
They hate jugglers?
Jugglers are sin.
Was it in the episode that just came out?
No. It was in like a 2014 episode.
Julia!
I listened to them all, Deanna. I need this. I need to expel the knowledge I have of how horrible they were and how bad jugglers are.
Okay.
But if you ever want to make a character that's just perfect, just make her rich and well-educated and really intimidating and strong.
And an orc!
Just make orcs.
Just make characters that aren't cookie-cutter, elf ranger, good at magic.
Yeah.
Like make a human.
Make a human.
Do something controversial for once in your life. Start some drama. We certainly did.
I wish I knew what dramatics were.
Says theater. The embodiment of theater on this podcast.
Me walked into a high school I did not go to on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. with a large coffee screaming, it's today! It's today!
And of course today was Drama Festival.
The festival of drama in which I worked for and did not get paid and stayed there for 14 hours.
You're valid.
Yep. I am valid. You know what? That work paid off, because with the zero money I made, I still bought 3 sets of mystery dice today.
That's why we're here to talk about things. Our fucking enchantress sets.
Yeah.
From Kraken Dice.
But we're also all just so valid. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
Like, we're all just so valid. But, okay, so Kraken is this amazing company that was like a really small startup a year ago, mm-hmm. and then they put out the most gorgeous dice designs like ever made.
Yeah, they really do.
Like, honestly, absolutely, I cannot wait for them to release them so I can spend like $80 on those fucking gorgeous dice. And they just, they're so good with their fan base, and there's so many people that all just love it, and everyone just like stands Brian. We love Brian in the Facebook group.
And they really work hard to make sure, like, yeah. everyone's getting what they want.
I tweeted something haphazardly, like, oh, I'm on a teacher's salary, like, as a joke. And they sent me Kraken stickers for my whole classroom. I couldn't, like, post a picture of them, but, like, Kraken, thank you, because that was really nice. And my kids did love them. Like, we made a little poster out of them, and we're, like, talked about sea creatures for the rest of the week. And it was so sweet. Like, they're just, like, all around good people. Like, oh, yeah. Live, love, Kraken. Their dice designs
are just so, like, unique.
Yeah. Blue iridescence.
Yeah.
In these, like, I don't even know what they're, like, they're translucent, but, like, with a filling. Like, I don't know. They're just absolutely
Yeah, they're clear gorgeous. Dice with, like, an iridescent glitter Inside. Filling.
Yeah.
It's and, so, like.
And, like, I have clear dice with glitter filling also from them. And they're also gorgeous. Like, I also am obsessed with them. Like,
I just want to look at them. Julia has a set that she got in a blind box that is just fucking gorgeous. That, like, okay, this level of sparkle I have only seen in Chessex Borealis dice.
Literally.
Which are being discontinued.
They are?
Yeah. That's why they're, like, hard to find.
I saw something about them earlier in a... Oh, I don't remember what.
Was it
a Facebook group?
Because I was probably talking about them.
There was a Facebook group, like, dice auctions.
Yeah.
And someone was auctioning them off, and it was, like, $200. Yeah, that's, I was like, wow, bye.
That's, like, par for the course. Which set was it? I have no what idea. Color?
I was like, that's a lot of money, and then I just scrolled by.
Yeah. But
I definitely saw Chessex, so it was probably Borealis. Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis. But, yeah, fun fact about the sparkly blossom. Dice. Chessex is based in Germany. They, up until, like, 2008, before the Euro got standardized, they used a certain type of glitter in their dice. And after the Euro got standardized, that glitter that they used became a controlled substance. So it's what? Illegal to use in manufacturing.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The dice lore goes so deep on these.
Oh my god.
It's genuinely great.
Yeah. Wait, so, what do you mean it became a controlled substance?
Like, you can
like
only
you can have them? Like I
no like you can't buy it if you're not making euros. It is illegal to have if you are not printing euros.
What the fuck? Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah,
Europe. What the fuck?
And so they had to find a different kind of glitter, like. Look up the comparison between a set from, like, pre-2008 and, like, a set from today. Oh my because God. The set from pre-2008 is, like...
Bombshell?
Yeah, they, like, glow. They have a natural light about them that is incredibly hard to replicate.
I'm already so jealous. I mean, I'll look them up later, but I'm so jealous already.
I actually got really, really lucky. They discontinued one of the sets.
Opal ones.
The opal ones. The Aquarple.
They're so pretty.
In 2016. Conveniently. I bought my set of Aquarple dice in like 2015. Ugh. When I started playing D&D. I was like, this is it. This is my favorite set. I love the way they look. I'm gonna, like, they're $16, yeah, but I'm gonna get them anyway because I love the way they look. That's a $500 set of dice now.
Like, oh my god. They're so pretty, too. They're so sparkly.
I love them. I, like, don't use them because I don't want them to break.
Yeah, you're valid. I get it. Like, I don't. But yeah, I use all mine. But, like,
I have too many to, like, use.
True.
I
bought one of those jewelry holders and I've started putting my dice in it. It's so nice.
Yeah.
I have to take a picture.
Valid.
Of
we've said that a lot this back half.
Valid.
Yeah, we're valid.
We're valid.
You know what, everybody?
When I think about myself reading all of Homestuck, I really have to remember that now I am valid. I'm a valid person now who did fight people from 4chan who came onto Tumblr and attacked me for years. Like, I'm valid now.
Yeah, you're 100% valid. Wow.
I crossed the river.
Yeah.
And now I'm valid.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I guess just D&D. Great. Dice. Great
thing.
The fucking, I'm living for them.
I like us having a little, like, cooperating.
Yeah.
Like, we build off each other a lot.
Collaborative. D&D. Friggin' hoorays.
Friggin' hooray hooray.
Friggin' hooray hooray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friggin' hooray!
Friggin' hooray for dice. Friggin' just thank hooray. You for being the forbidden candy that I can't eat.
Also, thank you, Kraken.
Yeah, thank you, Kraken.
I stand you.
Legit, if you do want to sponsor the Code of Conflict, I will get it up and running off the ground for you. If you
want to sponsor me as a person, I will do anything. You don't have to pay me. I don't know how to express this to you enough. Just give me a mystery set, like, once a year, and I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Did everyone just come home? I think so. Uh-huh. All right.
Well, we'll...
Yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks with our next episode of The Spitch of an Earth. You can follow us at TBOAE Podcast. You can send us your little joys, your friggin' hoorays, your garbage bins. You can send us just
Let
a message.
Let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Visit thelifecast.net for more. Follow us on Twitter. Don't forget, suck less.
Fuck more.
Howl at the moon.
Dress in black. And worship wholeheartedly.